The Productive Woman, episode 487. Hello and welcome to this episode of The Productive Woman. My name is Laura McClellan and this is a podcast about productivity for busy women. My goal is to help you find the tools and encouragement you need to manage your time, life, stress, and stuff so you can accomplish the things you care about most and make a life that matters. Well, thank you so much for joining me. In this episode, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the tools and techniques that I use to get my work done for my day job. You'll find more information and links to resources mentioned in the episode all in the show notes for this episode, which you will find at theproductivewoman.com/487. So I was working on some things for my day job this past week, and I got to thinking about the various things that I do, the systems and tools that I've set up over the years to make sure I can actually get my work done effectively and efficiently. I have been doing this for a very long time, or it feels like a long time, I guess. But over the years, I have learned so much from seeing how other people get their work done. So as I thought about it, I thought maybe I'd take a few minutes this week to share with you what's working for me, how I'm getting things done, and see if maybe some of it might be helpful for you in thinking about how you can get your work done as well. So by way of context, my day job, for if you're new to the show and maybe I haven't talked about it in a while, is as a commercial real estate transactional lawyer. So I'm a lawyer who doesn't go to court. At least I very seldom go to court. I represent clients who are doing commercial real estate deals. So a lot of my work involves representing lenders who are making loans that are going to be secured by commercial real estate. Another element of my work is representing buyers or sellers of commercial real estate properties in various states. So it's all related to real estate, but specifically commercial real estate. I don't really do like residential or home real estate types of transactions. What my job entails is representing multiple clients on multiple different transactions. So I have a number of different clients that I work with, and each of them may have, you know, various transactions going on, whether they're buying real estate, selling it, leasing it, or making a loan on it. And each of those is a separate transaction. And the way it works for what we do, how we keep track of things, I guess, for our clients is each client of the firm is assigned a number, and then each transaction for that client is assigned its own number. And so that's how we kind of categorize things, keep track of documents that go with a particular matter and that sort of thing. My work entails dealing a lot with documents. I have to draft documents using forms or precedents, that is similar documents that I've done for deals in the past. I review a lot of documents that other people have drafted and maybe comment on them or revise them. I deal with a lot of email. It can be at times, you know, hundreds of emails in a day if we have closings going on and different things like that. And my work entails a lot of interaction with other people, whether it's other lawyers in the firm, the lawyers on the other side of a deal, the clients, different things. So that means lots of phone conferences or Teams or Zoom calls to discuss the matters and advise the clients or negotiate things. And as part of my work, as part of the requirement for how these things work for us, I am required to keep track of my time on each matter in 6-minute increments or tenths of an hour. So I have to, you know, I have to write down what I'm doing and how much time I'm spending on it. So those are kind of the big picture pieces of what my workday might entail. My priorities in doing my work and doing the things that I do as a lawyer are to do excellent work, to be responsive to my clients, and to be as efficient as possible to basically to minimize my clients' legal bills. It's important to me not to waste time, to spend as much time as is needed on a matter, but no more than that. And so those are kind of the three priorities in my mind for how I manage my work and how I get my work done. And for me, the keys to achieving those three priorities, that is doing excellent work, being responsive to my clients, and being efficient, it requires me to maximize my use of time, energy, attention, and my workspace. And two things, there's probably more than two things, but the two things that came to mind as I was thinking about all of this that are necessary for me to maximize my use of time, energy, and so on are kind of interrelated. One of them is consistency. Always doing the same things the same way, always putting things in the same places, having a place for everything and everything in its place, both in my schedule and in my workspace. And the other thing is routine, developing routines for getting my work done, which minimizes decision fatigue and allows my brain to kind of settle into the work with less distraction. So those are kind of principles that I've developed over the years that I've been practicing law to help me achieve those priorities of mine: excellent work, responsiveness to my clients, and efficiency. So as I'm, was thinking through those things, that's kind of the backdrop for what I do and how I do it to make sure that I get the things done that I need to do, that I do them well, and achieve those priorities that are important to me. And so there are various tools that I use, both external tools and internal tools. Obviously, I think I would say my number one tool that I use for the work that I do is my mind. What I get hired for is my ability to think clearly, communicate clearly, and solve problems or assist my clients in solving problems and getting their goals accomplished. And so some of the external tools that we use to get all those things done, first of all, there's software. Everything's done on computers these days. And so we have a Dell laptop that the firm provides, and I have it hooked up to a large external monitor and an external keyboard so that I can look at lots of things, more than one thing on the screen at a time and really maximize what I'm doing at any given time. And there are kind of two sets of software that I use to get all this stuff done. First is the basic software package that the firm provides. And I should say, as a real estate lawyer, I am a partner in a large national firm. We actually have some international offices. And so the firm provides the basic software package, the Office 365 suite, so Word for document production, Outlook for email and calendaring, Teams, Excel, and OneNote. So all of those are kind of the base package of software that we use to do the things that we do. Then there is a package of software by a company called Litera. Well, actually, I don't know if that's the company or the name of the software, but it provides a software tool that allows me to compare one document to another, which is something we have to do. When I revise a document that somebody else has seen, say I've sent a draft of an agreement to the lawyer on the other side, and they send me back comments, and I revise the agreement to reflect their comments, I have to be able to compare the new version to the old one so I can show everybody exactly what changes were made. It's a very important part of what we do is being very transparent about what we're doing in the documents that we're preparing. And so we have this Litera software that does that. And then a cloud program called NetDocuments, which is where we store all the documents that we have so that we can reach them. It's a secure program, but we, within the firm, no matter where we are, as long as we can get on the internet, we can access these documents that we need to do. and that's NET documents. And then we have a program called Orion, which is where we track our time and our expenses for billing purposes and that sort of thing. So that's the basic package of software that we use for doing the work. And then I have some additional software tools that I use that are very important to my ability to get my work done. One of them you've heard me talk about before, and that is Text Expander. Full disclosure, they have been a longtime sponsor of the podcast. They are not sponsoring this episode, but it really is a key piece of software for me. Also, Dropbox I use for keeping certain kinds of documents. I have a ScanSnap scanner that I use, and the software that runs that lives on my computer. And then, of course, Zoom. I use LastPass, which is a password manager. And for a browser, I usually use Chrome, and I have an extension called SpeedDial. I think it's actually SpeedDial 2. And I'll try to put links to all these in the show notes in case you want to look into them. But what the SpeedDial extension allows me to do is to basically create digital buttons on a page within Chrome for each of the websites and online services that I use frequently so that I don't have to search for them. When I open up Chrome, the first page that comes up is the page with all these various buttons. And in fact, SpeedDial allows me to sort them into separate tabs. So I have a home tab that has kind of the most frequently used websites for me. And it just looks like a page of buttons that I can customize. And I just click on it and it logs me right in. I have a separate page for law firm cloud services and websites that I use frequently, things like the State Bar forms and the website for the Texas Comptroller of Public Accounts, because I have to look up entities on that site frequently, you know, various things like that. And then I have a separate tab in Chrome, a separate SpeedDial tab for websites that I use for the podcast and things like that. So that's a very useful extension, and one of the main reasons that I like Chrome so much, because I can use that extension with it. I mentioned also that I use LastPass, a password manager, and I'll put in a plug for using that or some other password manager. I've used LastPass for years. It saves me a huge amount of time and helps me keep my online information secure, because what LastPass and other password managers can do is store our passwords for these various sites and log us in automatically when we go to one of these sites. It allows us, because I don't have to remember the passwords for all these various websites that I use, I can use very strong, complex, and unique passwords for each site, which protects the security of, you know, my online access. So, as I said, I strongly urge you, if you're not already using a password manager, to look into one of them. There are any number of them. If you Google password managers, you'll come up with lots of articles that will give you ideas for one to use. But if you're not using one now, I strongly encourage you to do it, both for the security, but also, as I said, it saves me a huge amount of time because it just can very quickly log me into any of these websites. So software, the various software that I've talked about here, is a key tool that I use because most of my work is done at my desk on the computer, and these various software packages are what let me get it done. So in terms of the work that I'm doing, I think, you know, as I thought about it, it kind of falls into various categories of the types of things that I'm doing. And the first one has to do with managing documents. As I mentioned, most of my work involves either drafting documents or reviewing and commenting on documents that other people have drafted. And it's very important that I be able to keep track of all of those. And we, as I said, store them online in a cloud service called NET Documents. But you have to be able to find the documents. You can save anything in there, but if you don't have a system in place for how you label it, you know, the way you save it, what you name it, and those sorts of things, you're going to have a hard time finding the right document when you need it. And so for me, it's very important to be very consistent in how I save documents, how I name them, whether it's something I'm drafting from scratch, something I'm drafting based on a precedent or on a form, or something that someone else sent to me that I'm saving into the system because I'm going to need to consult it or revise it. And so my general method, and I try to be very consistent about this, when I save a document, I save it by the title. And then in parentheses, I put the name of the deal it belongs to, the, you know, an abbreviation for the client and for the matter. And then I'll put the date, either that I drafted it or the date that it came to me. And when I date things, I date them using a year.month.date format, the dots being, you know, a period in between it. So for instance, as I'm recording this, it is Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. And so if I was saving a document into our Net Documents program, I would title it the title of the document, and then in parentheses, the abbreviation for the client and the matter name. And then the date would be 2024.03.26. So the year, 4-digit year, the 2-digit month, even though March is month number 3, you put a 0 in front of it, and then the date, the 26th. The reason I do it this way, first of all, you can do it with hyphens in between or, you know, nothing in between if you want. For me, putting a dot, a decimal point, a period, whatever you want to call it, between the year, the month, and the date just makes it easier for me to read. And those dots don't take up much visual space. So it's easier to see things on the screen. The reason I do it that way with the year, 4-digit year first, the 2-digit month, and then the 2-digit date is because it allows me to sort identically named documents or versions of the same document chronologically. When you sort things online, and whether it's Net Documents or any other program, you know, Dropbox or some other document storage system or program, if you go sort of the usual month, day, year, the documents will not sort chronologically. They sort in number order. And so by turning it around and doing the year first, then the 2-digit month, and then the date, when I sort them, you know, in number order, it automatically puts them chronologically, which is important for me so I can easily see what's the most current version because it's going to be the most recent date. It's harder to explain that than it is to show it, but it really makes a huge difference in labeling things that way to allow me to sort them in the order that they were created or the order they were saved or whatever, so that I can find very quickly what's the most recent version or what's the, you know, the version we did 2 months ago that I need to look at now. It just makes it easier for me to find very quickly what I need. And as far as doing this dating, I actually have text expander snippets for that date format, you know, the 4-digit year.2-digit month.2-digit date, so that I don't even have to pause as I'm labeling a document. I don't have to pause to remember what the date is that day. And, you know, when you're in the middle of doing something, it's really easy to kind of lose track of what day is it? What's the date today? And so I don't have to think about that because I have set up this text expander snippet that automatically populates it with the current date. So that saves me a huge amount of time. The other thing is, as I said, I try to be really consistent about naming documents. In what I do, we often have multiple versions of the same document as maybe we're negotiating back and forth, say a purchase agreement, and I'll do a draft, and then the other party's lawyer will send a revised draft back to me with changes that they want, and then I'll look at it and I'll make some of those changes but not others and send back. So we end up with multiple versions. Even though they send me, you know, the person on the other side of the deal may send me a document and they've named their file something different than what the way that I name documents. I take a moment before I save it into our system to rename it with the same naming convention that I already have the other versions in there so that they will sort in order. Again, it just makes it very easy for me to find what I'm looking for because I've labeled them carefully. And so, for instance, in the scenario I was just talking about where it was a document that maybe I did the first version and maybe I'm representing the seller. So I did the first draft of a purchase agreement and the buyer's counsel reviewed it, made changes and sent back a new version. When I save it, as I said, I will change the file name to match whatever my original file name was, put the date that I received it from them at the end in that same convention that I already talked about. And at the end, I'll say buyer draft so that when I go back 2 days, 2 months, 2 years later, and I'm looking at the list of documents in that file, I can easily see that's not one that I drafted. That's the one they sent me. It's very important for what I do to be able to keep track of that. And when you've got dozens and dozens of documents coming in every day, you've got to have a system in place to keep track of them. So those are some of the things that I do to manage all the documents that I come in or that I have to deal with in any given day. You know, in times past, this was all done with actual paper documents and there was a filing system. We're all doing it, of course, digitally now. And so having a way that you can sort things and search for things and find things quickly is absolutely essential for me to get the things done that I need to do. And if you are a person whose work is document heavy, so to speak, I encourage you to think about some of these kinds of tips and tools and for managing those documents to save yourself time and aggravation. So in addition to managing documents, another big component of my work life is managing emails. So much of the communication we do, distribution of document drafts, all of that happens in email. And so I, as I said earlier, can get hundreds of emails in a given day. And I've got to have ways to keep track of them, to make sure I'm responding to them timely, and that I can find what I need later. So the way I have it set up, we use Outlook. That's the email program that the firm has provided for us to use. And so in my Outlook home screen or whatever it is, I have a folder for each client. And under that, I have a subfolder for each separate transaction that I'm working on for that client. When I create those folders, whether it's a client folder or a transaction subfolder, when I label that folder, I'll label it with a brief version of the name of the client and the deal, and I'll put that client matter number that I mentioned earlier right there in the label for the folder. The reason I do that is, you know, I have hundreds of client matter numbers that I'm working on, and I can't remember them all. And so by labeling the folder for that client and for that matter with that client matter number, it's another place where I can look if I need to refer to that number for some reason, because it's right there. Because of the way that Outlook works, it sorts those folders alphabetically. So sorts the clients alphabetically, and then within each client, the subfolders are listed alphabetically. And in our case, we're able to link each of those subfolders to the document management system that I mentioned earlier, the NetDocuments, which is the one that we use, so that all of my emails are saved into that document management system. They're available online that way as well. One tool that I use within Outlook that helps me keep track of emails and get them sorted and stored where they need to be is an Outlook extension called SimpliFile. And its sole purpose is to sort of learn how you want things filed and to file them for you. It can file emails as you send them. It can file emails that are received. And it's a really great tool. I'll put a link for that. I forget how much it costs. I really wasn't very expensive for all that it does. And it really makes a huge difference in my ability to quickly process email and get it filed into the folders quickly so that I can find it when I need it. One other thing that I do to help manage emails is when I am replying to someone else's email, I will rewrite or restructure the subject line to correctly identify the topic. So if I got an email from, Joe Black about something and their subject line says whatever it says, and I'm replying, but I'm actually talking about something else on the deal, I will take just the 3 seconds to relabel the subject line so that it clearly identifies what the email is about. I do that both for my sake, so that I can later find what, the email that I sent Joe Black about topic X, but also for the sake of those that I'm sending it to, so that when the email shows up in their inbox, they can look at that subject line before they even open the email. They know what I'm writing to them about. I think that's really important. And so many people don't do that. It makes it very, very difficult to process emails when the subject line has no resemblance to what the email is actually about. And then finally, for managing emails, I'll just mention that I have text expander snippets for the text of various frequently sent emails, such as when I send out a set of loan documents or something like that, or closing instructions for a real estate closing. There are certain things I have to say every time I send those out, and so I've created text expander snippets for that so that I don't have to retype it. I don't have to go find where it is and copy and paste it from where I've done it before, but I can type in a few keystrokes and it'll expand into the full message that I want to say, and it's consistent every time. Saves me so much time in doing that. So I manage documents, I manage emails, and I manage commitments, whether it's phone conferences, meetings in person, any of those sorts of things. I absolutely rely on my calendar before, and we've talked about this in the past. In this case, of course, I'm using the Outlook calendar because that's what the firm wants us to use. But I rely on that calendar. Every single meeting, every call, every deadline, all of that gets put into the calendar immediately, and it's completed purposefully. So first of all, whatever the appointment is, I make a clear statement of what it actually is supposed to be. So it might be a phone conference regarding such and such with so-and-so, or whatever it might be. I try to be very, very clear because I'm not going to remember, especially if I'm making an appointment for 2 weeks from now for a conference, when the time comes, I need to be able to look at it and go, oh, that's about this. And so I usually will have some reference to the client and the matter that it pertains to, and then what it is, whether it's a Zoom conference or a Teams conference or a phone conference or an in-person meeting, whatever it might be, and some brief mention of what it's about. And when I create those appointments, I will include any relevant information that I'm going to need when the time comes for that appointment. So if it's the dial-in information, because it's a, dial-in on the phone, if it's a Teams call, the Teams or Zoom link goes in there. If it's an in-person meeting, I'm going to make sure the address of where we're meeting is in there, or the conference room, if that's what it is. I make sure all that information is in there so I don't have to go looking for it when it comes time for the appointment. If it's a conference about a specific document or set of documents, I will attach that document or those documents to the calendar entry. So everything I need when it comes time for that meeting is already there. All of this takes 30 seconds or less when you're creating it, but it saves you many minutes when the time comes for the meeting of having to dig around and what was this call about? Where's that document that we're supposed to talk about? It's just all there. This has been one of the most important things that I do in terms of managing my commitments and being ready for any of these conferences and things like that. I always put an alarm or an alert, depending on what it is, to allow myself time to prepare for the call or the meeting or whatever the event is. And so at least 15 minutes before the alarm will go off, you know, the little alert will go off. If it's something I really need extra time to prepare for, I may set the alert for 30 minutes before to allow myself time to maybe review the document again and get fresh in my mind the points that I need to make or the things that we're going to be talking about. And if this is for an offsite meeting or appointment where I'm going to have to go somewhere, I always be sure to include the travel time on the calendar so that I get there on time. So it's very important that I keep all that information in the calendar entry. And I encourage you to do that if you don't already. It can make a huge difference in how prepared you feel for those events and how much time gets wasted looking for information you need when it comes time to meet with someone. Other things that I think about when I am managing commitments and managing my calendar, I try really, really hard not to book calls or meetings back to back. I try to leave at least 5, 10, 15 minutes between meetings, whether it's for a bathroom break or a walk around the house since I work from home, or just time to process what I learned from that meeting or to prepare for the next one. I try really hard when I have any control over it whatsoever, not to schedule things back to back. I also, in addition to actual appointments with other people, I will calendar important deadlines, such as closing dates for transactions, or if there's something that I am required to respond to by a certain date, I will calendar that deadline as well and include alerts to remind me an appropriate amount of time ahead of that event so that I don't miss those deadlines. And the other thing that I do to make my calendar really useful and to manage commitments is to share calendar entries with others on my team. So when I have a closing, for instance, say I'm representing, again, a seller who's selling some commercial real estate, and we have a closing date set up. When I create that calendar entry with maybe a reminder a week ahead of time so that I am reminded to look at it and make sure we're ready to go, I share that or I invite the client to that calendar entry so they have it as well. I may share it with other team members here at the firm, depending on what the appointment is. So sharing those calendar entries, even if other people don't have access to your calendar as a whole, sending an invitation to share a particular calendar entry or event with other people on the team, with the right people, can be really important in getting things done effectively and efficiently. And then the last thing, so we've talked about managing documents, managing emails, I manage commitments, and then I just manage my work, the things I have to get done. And there are various things that I do to make that happen. These days, I have gone to using a paper to-do list, and I create that at the beginning of the week or usually Friday afternoon. I will kind of make a list of the things that I know I need to get done starting on Monday or something like that. Doing it ahead of time or doing it the night before allows me to kind of get those things out of my head and relax a little bit because I know nothing's going to be forgotten. But I start the week with a list of the key things that have to get done that week check them off as I go and, you know, update it or redo it as needed. And that's kind of what I work from. I use my calendar, my digital calendar, sometimes to manage my work, specifically in blocking out chunks of time for tasks that have to get done and need my focused time and attention. So I will sometimes say I've got to get a set of documents prepared or reviewed or whatever it is, and I know it's going to take me, say, an hour. I will block an hour out on my calendar so that I don't fill it up with calls or other things. And I know that is the time I'm going to be working on this to make sure that I get it done and get it done well. So that's an important tool for managing my work. I also try to keep my desk pretty organized. I keep the tools and supplies that I use most often very close at hand, and I try to keep my desk clear of extraneous stuff that can just distract me. That's not always easy. Right now, I will confess my desk is looking a little bit chaotic, and it's on my list to get that cleared off so that I have a clear, clutter-free, undistracting workspace. Sometimes to help me manage my work, when I'm feeling particularly distractible, I will play a music playlist of the type of music that helps me sort of focus, helps me tune out other distractions. For me, that's going to mean instrumental music, you know, something with no lyrics, and usually some kind of classical music. And then the other, I guess, random tool that is important for me in managing my work and the tasks and the things I need to do is that I have compiled over time a file full of forms for documents that I have to draft frequently so that I don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. I also, in addition to sort of blank forms that I can take and customize for the deal, I also have a file of saved documents of different types that are from prior deals that have maybe provisions that I really like the way we were ended up wording that and that can be useful in other contexts. So that having that sort of library of forms and sample documents available to me can save me a lot of time instead of having to reinvent the wheel in terms of how do we want to say this kind of thing, whatever, you know, because things show up repeatedly in different kinds of legal documents. So if you've got a good, I don't know, indemnity that you really like the way this works, you could save it as a text expander snippet for that matter, but save it somewhere so that you can, instead of rethinking it, you can pull it out of your forms library, plug it in, and then customize it pretty quickly to suit the specifics of the deal. So those are just, this ended up being much longer than I expected it to be. I hope it's not too boring to you. I realize it's very specific to the kind of work that I do. And the fact is that each of us has to figure out for herself how to get her work done effectively and efficiently to achieve what we want to achieve with our work. And so much of it does depend on the context, the type of job, the workplace, your working style, all those sorts of things. And I acknowledge that what works for me might not work for you, but I'm hopeful that hearing about some of the systems and tools that I use can maybe help inspire you to think about what you can do to make your workday as productive as you want it to be. And so those are my thoughts on that. I'd love to know what you think, because I want to learn from you as well. What tools or systems do you have in place to get your work done? I'd love to hear from you about that. You can share that in the comments section of the show notes, which again, you'll find at theproductivewoman.com/487. And you know, if you share it, maybe tell a little bit about the kind of work you do and kind of the context, because I think that's so useful in understanding how a tool or a system or an approach works. If you want to share it in the comment section, you can, or you can post a comment or question on the Productive Woman Facebook page. If you are a member of the Productive Woman Community Facebook group, that's also a great place where we can help each other out to find ways to be more effective and more efficient in getting our day job work done so that we can also get on to the other things that are important to us. As always, if you prefer to share your thoughts with me privately, you can do that by emailing your questions, comments, or suggestions to me at feedback@theproductivewoman.com, and I'd love to hear from you. And that, my friends, is it for this episode of The Productive Woman. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. I do hope you felt like it was time well spent, that you found something in there that was helpful to you. I look forward to talking with you again very soon. So until next time, remember, extend grace to each other and to yourself, and go make your life matter.